KUTX 98.9. This is Jody Denberg live in Studio 1A, and I am joined by three folks who helped make a brand new movie called Blaze, which is about the songwriter Blaze Foley. And I have Mr. Ben Dickey, who's got his guitar here. He plays Blaze Foley in the movie and makes the music on the soundtrack and in the movie. Ben, good to see you again.
It's good to see you too, my friend.
And Sybil Rosen is here with us, who wrote the book and co-wrote the movie, the book Living in the Woods in a Tree. Sybil, I have been prizing this book, if that's a word, a verb, I don't know. I love this book. You sent it to me about 10 years ago. It's very meaningful to me. And of course, the book helped the movie happen. So thank you for the book and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. You're so kind.
And Ethan Hawke is here, who co-wrote the movie with Sybil and directed it. And man, you took my place in the movie. There's some scenes where, I guess, is it okay to say, you shot from behind, you're the DJ who's interviewing a...
Welcome back to Country Roads. We have with us legendary Ben Dickey. What an actor, what a man.
That's the one.
It's going, damn, maybe we should hire Ethan as a DJ.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it.
Well, welcome, y'all.
Thank you for having us.
And congratulations on Blaze.
Thank you. Cheers, man.
And Blaze is opening nationwide September 7th, but here in Austin, exclusive engagements begin today at several locations, the Alamo Drafthouse South Lamar, the Austin Regal Arbor 8, the Violet Crown Cinema, and also there's going to be Q&As tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. I would check the Regal Arbor. I know there's one today at 4:10 and 6:30, and there's some tomorrow. And our own Elizabeth McQueen will spend some time with Ben and Ethan Sunday at noon at Waterloo Records. So heads up on all that. Having read Sybil's book a long time ago, when I heard about this movie, I figured, oh, Ethan must have read the book and thought, I'll make a movie out of this because the book would lend itself to it. But that's not how it went down at all, is it?
Well, no, that's not the order in which the dominoes fell. I had this friend, and I still have him, and he's here with us. His name's Ben Dickey, and he and I love country music. We love hanging, we love talking, we love lyrics. And well, why don't you tell the story, because it has to do with your dad.
Well, I introduced my dad to John Prine about 14 years ago, and my dad should have been listening to John Prine the whole time, and he didn't know why. He had missed it. And on the record that came out after that relationship started between my dad and John Prine, listen wise Clay Pigeons was covered by John, and my dad was like, this is a great song. I had heard of Blaze. I just knew he was a mystic character. I didn't know much about him. I knew he'd written If I Could Only Fly. And Clay Pigeons was this massive revelation, this wonderful song, and my dad was like, this guy Blaze Foley wrote it. So I was going to see Ethan in Canada, and my dad sent me a care package that had a CD that he had burned from the internet of six songs of Blaze's, and then a bunch of literature, four different versions of his death. And we went to the Maritimes in the summer of 2006 or 5, mm-hmm. I think, and listened to these six songs on repeat. And we were stunned at how good the songs were, but we were also stunned that we hadn't known about Blaze the whole time. And every time we got together after that, you know, one of us would have discovered a new song, or they would have released a new record. And then the Duct Tape Messiah came out, and I was like, wow, he's got his own documentary now. Isn't this great? And New Year's Eve of 2015 going into 2016, we were all in our New Year's clothes, heading out the door. It was really cold. Everybody's putting their overcoats on. And I just picked up Ethan's guitar and started playing Clay Pigeons. And he kind of looked at me and was like, oh, wow, you should play Blaze in a movie. About 7 hours later, and plenty of alcohol and other festivities, smokables and such, had gone into effect. We were walking back home. It's 4 a.m. now. I think it was like 4 degrees that night. And we were rushing from the party that we were at to go home. And he started looking at me like there was espionage was about to go down. Something really heavy was about to happen. Anyways, he said, I'm going to make this movie with you. I'm going to make this movie. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? Mm-hmm. So flash forward to about 8:30 in the morning when I'm still sleeping my hangover to come off. And he's like, you want to go for a walk? You want to go for a walk and talk? And I was like, what are you talking about? It's 8:30 in the morning. I just fell asleep. And I'll buy you a coffee and a smoothie, man. Come on, let's go. So we went walking, and when he gets excited, he gets really excited, and the ideas start coming fast, and he tends to like satellite his friend when on the sidewalk. He's running around you, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "I really think this would be great. I mean, I don't know what the story would be, but the songs, da 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 da." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, sure, I'll do it. Just calm down." So that was in January of 16, and by August of 16. It was a daydream that was 5 years off and then 3 years off. And before we knew it, he said, "We can start in probably November. What do you think?" So I took a deep, deep breath and said, "Yeah, let's do that."
So, Ben, you and Ethan have this friendship. It's built around music. Ethan, you're a fan of Ben's music and Blood Feathers and such. He's playing you a Blaze Foley tune. You're thinking this could be a movie. You had not even read Sybil's book at this
point. Well, that's where I can pick up the story where... that New Year's happened, and I thought, and then I started pouring on this out, like, what would the movie be? And I came down here to Austin, and I met with Lewis Black, who I knew had seen Blaze play. And I was wondering, Lewis is a smart guy, and I wondered what his hit on what was the most revelatory aspect of Blaze's story. And he said, "Well, you got to read his wife's book." I'm like, he had a wife? And Lewis is like, "Well, he sort of. Read the book." And so my wife and I, we ordered two copies of the book, and we sat and read it. And it was shockingly easy to observe. It goes through you, Sybil's book. And it was not about Blaze. It was about a young woman and about an older. It was about Sybil. And Sybil was incredibly interesting to me. And I realized that the movie was what was in Sybil's memoir, that's the movie, that's the revelatory. You know, talented people setting themselves on fire sadly happens a lot. Self-sabotage is a big part of a lot of people's lives. And I don't know that I had anything to offer that part of the story. But Sybil had something to say about time and death that really lent itself to the way that I think, and that I thought could really work for a musical, for a movie. We start calling it our country western opera, you know, and that's what I think gave Ben permission to learn how to act, was that it was basically a musical, and the music part he could do, no problem. So it was just this other little part. My favorite thing in our experience of this is the first time we did our first interview at Sundance, we're all sitting around like we are now, and the guy says, a question I've been asked 1,000 times, "What was the most difficult part of playing this character?" And Ben says, acting." So, but anyway, Sybil's book, to your point, because I know how much the book means to you, it meant the same to me. And once I had come across it, I knew I couldn't uncome across it. And I was actually scared because I knew that if she wouldn't partner up with me, then Ben and I's idea was we weren't going to do it. The movie about Blaze Foley needed to flow through Sybil. It felt obvious to me. And so I called her up.
Talking with Ethan Hawke, who co-wrote the movie Blaze, directed it, Ben Dickey, who plays Blaze, and Sybil Rosen, who wrote the book that we're talking about and also co-wrote the movie. So, Sybil, you have the credit of co-writing the movie. How does that work? Is it more that the movie was based on your book, or did you and Ethan actually nose-to-nose write this movie? How did that play out?
Well, I think that Ethan took the memoir, took it up, took it in, and, you know, we put some things down on paper. It feels like the movie didn't really come alive until we were actually filming it, and everyone brought, you know, their gifts and their heart to it, and so it just opened up in a way that I don't think any of us could have anticipated in terms of just the flow of it and the imagination and love that all the, you know, all the actors and Ethan and the crew. I mean, it was such a cohesive, loving experience.
And a lot of people contributed. And in a strange way, there really wasn't, you know, there's this thing that's happened in movies that there's this like computer program they have called Final Draft, and people write screenplays and they think it's a screenplay. And the thing is that film is it's a baby of an art form, and it's still evolving, and I'm a little, I've been reading screenplays since I was 13, and I'm a little allergic to them. They start to feel like work to me. And so really we went down to Louisiana, which was like a 30-page short story of things stolen from the memoir. You know, I would cut and paste, you know, things that Sybil wrote and put them into the document, and things I wanted to write about, and things I'd seen in a Townes Van Zandt interview, and things that I'd heard about, and things that I felt in my heart, and, well, I want to put that in the movie. And sometimes I'd just write down something Ben said and put that in. And it was like plans for a party, you know, and we needed to invite everybody, and then we'd see how it went. And so Sybil and I basically held hands for the whole shoot, and the screenplay, as it were, was something that we really tried to let happen like a piece of music. You know, we just let it. We knew this was a good line. You know, there's a line in the book that Blaze says hungover, you know, I feel like a panther ate me and shit me off the side of a cliff, you know, and that, it's like, okay, that's got to be in the movie, right? Okay, so let's figure that. So where does that go? You know, it's
a very organic process.
Yeah.
And we talk about the music, and I know that one of the things you wanted to achieve with this movie is to get the music across. And there's a great soundtrack. And another thing that when you watch the movie that you see is no one's lip syncing. It would have been easy to kind of plop Blaze's songs in there and have Ben lip sync to it. But instead, Ben gets inside of these songs. He owns the songs for himself, and you'll hear that on the soundtrack. But, you know, I think it'd be a good idea to just let Ben do one of the songs, and then we can come back and talk some more about this movie. Blaze is the movie. It's going to be playing in 3 theaters in Austin beginning today. There's going to be Q&As at several of the theaters Sunday at noon at Waterloo. Ben Dickey, Sybil Rosen, Ethan Hawke, our guests, and we have Ben Dickey on KUTX to do a Blaze Foley song.
I'm going down to the Greyhound station, gonna get a ticket to ride. Gonna ride that lady with 2 or 3 kids and sit down by side. Ride until the sun comes up and down around me about 2 or 3 times. Smoking cigarettes in the last seat. Try to hide my sorrow from the people I meet and get along with it all. Go down to people say y'all. Sing a song to a friend. Change the shape that I'm in. And get back into game. Start playing again. I'd like to stay, but I might have to go to start over again. I might go back to Texas. Might go to somewhere I've never been. Get up in the morning and go out at night, and I won't have to come home. Get used to being. Change the words to this song and start singing again. I'm tired of running around looking for answers to questions that I already know. I could build me a castle of memories just to have somewhere to go. Count the days and the nights that it takes to get back in the saddle again. Feed the pigeons some clay. Turn the night into day and start talking again when I know what to say. I'm going down to the Greyhound station, gonna get a ticket to ride. Gonna find that lady with 2 or 3 kids and sit down by her side. Ride until the sun comes up and down around me about 2 or 3 times. Smoking cigarettes in the last seat. Try to hide my sorrow from the people I meet and get along with it all. Go down where people say y'all. Feed the pigeons some clay. Turn the night into day. And start talking again when I know what to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben Dickey. Ben Dickey, live on KETX, doing a version of Blaze Foley's Clay Pigeons. And many people heard that song first when John Prine covered it. And there's a moment in the film where someone's heckling Blaze at a club and saying, well, you stole John Prine's melody. Were people really giving Blaze grief about that, or was that just...
Well, you know, John said when he first heard that song, he's like, oh my goodness, I don't remember writing that one. But it sure is a good one of my songs. And I think that Blaze absolutely loved John. And Sybil tells a story about going to see John, and that Blaze was completely transfixed. And there's a simplicity the way John Prine plays music, and Mississippi John Hurt plays music, and Lightning Hawkins. And I think that at that trip, when they all went to see him, I think Blaze was studying him hard. And so it's his own song, but he's borrowing something that John does, which is just this hypnotizing simplicity. So
conversational.
Yeah, and we wanted somebody, you know, John... I think Blaze had a notion that he would go up to Chicago with Sybil and that he would walk through the same door that John walked through. And we wanted Chicago to be like, it ain't that easy, Jack.
Well, it's certainly a warts and all movie, if you will. And Ethan, you mentioned, you know, the arc of films like this about musicians who ultimately, you know, I don't want to say crash and burn, but, you know, the arc of biopics about musicians is fairly common. This film is more impressionistic. It's not a linear narrative. How did you guys decide the way you were going to approach that? Or is what you were saying earlier, it just evolved that way?
Well, Sybil, want to talk a little bit about the book, you know, about the way that time seemed to intersect for you in the book.
Well, you know, I never heard Clay Pigeons when Blaze was alive. I only heard it 25 years after he wrote it. And I have to say that listening to Ben sing it is like, you know, getting it back and seeing him do it. It's just an amazing layering of time, just this event of watching him. But when I was writing the book, you know, I had not had any contact with him for so many years, and then he died, and I had just sort of put his memory up on the shelf in a certain way. And then when his memory returned to me, I felt actually stuck between time. I felt stuck between the past and the present, and in some way the future. And so it just made so much sense for the book to express that by going back and forth between past and present, particularly.
And then
it was just a kind of a natural structure for what I was feeling.
And then the movie manifests that. Mm-hmm. Because he's somewhere touring with Bob Dylan and not with us today, we should mention our friend Charlie Sexton. Because Ben, you seem to inhabit Blaze in this movie. I'd seen Blaze play a few times, but not enough where I could look at you and know how much you look like him. But in the movie, you really seem to look like him. And then there's that one scene in the movie in New York in that where there's that big party in that mm-hmm. big room. And all of a sudden, Charlie, who doesn't look that much like Towns, just looks like Towns.
He's channeling him in some strange way. Yeah.
Yeah. His ears are sticking out and he's playing Marie. And it's like, holy moly, Charlie Sexton is Towns Van Zandt. Who cast Charlie as Towns? How did that come about?
Well, for me, for people that care deeply about lyrical, real country music, you know, what I think it really is, Towns is kind of the unassailable lyrical king. He lives for people that really care about it as kind of a mysterious star on the horizon. And if you have somebody that mysterious, that creative, that unknowable, you need somebody incredibly gifted to play him. You know, I didn't want somebody posing. And Charlie knows a lot about music. He's intimate with it. He's intimate with these people and with this world. And if you're going to, you know, there's a great Kazan line about, in his book about acting and about how if you're going to do something real, you got to put some blood in the celluloid. You know, there has to be a reason for people to pay money to see your work. you know, and you have to give something real away. And I knew I'd worked with Charlie on Boyhood, and obviously he's one of the best guitarists of my generation, right? You know, I mean, he's just a staggeringly great musician, and he's also a fascinating person to be around. He's just a really interesting person. And then I was acting with him, and he cares about acting. He didn't talk about it the way that some people talk about it, and he understood some very profound things that I think a lot of people miss about what it can be at its finest. And I walked away from that experience going, God, somebody's got to give him a real part. And when the idea of casting Ben happened, the next domino was obvious. Well, if we're casting a musician as Blaze, we have to cast a musician as Townes Van Zandt. And Charlie Sexton just erupted in my mind. I called Ben immediately, like, what do you think about that? And, you know,
automatic, man.
Yeah.
If he's willing to do it, that's really the only choice.
Yeah, and so then, and he was willing to go down the rabbit hole. I mean, you know, people can get obsessed when Ben doesn't have this obstacle, which is that people don't have a lot of preconceived notion about what Blaze Foley looks like or sound. You know, they're learning about him through Ben, and so he doesn't have that obstacle. But people like you who really know Townes and care about him, you have to get at something deeper than the looks, you know. And in that scene that you're talking about, in that party scene, he's had time in the performance to get to kind of a deep place. And it's an awesome thing. It's what directing is supposed to do. It's like being you got to put people in a position to succeed, you know? And Charlie's just, his blessing on the movie is large.
And that's one of my favorite scenes. It's amazing. The movie's called Blaze. It's about Blaze Foley, the Austin songwriter who passed away almost 30 years, but he wasn't a star, but he's a legend. And his legend is living on, and there's amazing events going on in our town. The exclusive engagement run of the film starts today at three different theaters in our town, the Alamo Drafthouse, South Lamar, Regal Arbor 8, and the Violet Crown Cinema. But there's Q&As with Ben and Ethan and maybe even Sybil at the Regal Arbor today just after 4 and at 6:30 and tomorrow and Sunday. And also want to point you to Waterloo Records on Sunday with our own Elizabeth McQueen sitting down with these folks for This Song podcast. And because so much of this is about the music, I think we have the honor of having Ben here. We should do another song. And Ben, the song that I see you're going to play for Anything Less isn't one that's on the soundtrack. Can you just tell me just a second or two about it?
Well, it's a song about somebody who's reckoning with something about themselves that they can't fix. And they're also reckoning with somebody that they love, understanding that they can't be fixed. And there's a fellow who came to blow a harmonica and help us make this movie, and he was listening to me play this song. And I had just met him. His name is Johnny Sansone. He's a great harmonica player, but he was watching me run through this song, and there's a line in there. He says, Blaze says, take me back the way I am, because you can't change me. I can't even change myself. I know I've tried. And I walked out of the sound booth, and Johnny was weeping. And I hadn't even said, hey, my name, I hadn't introduced myself yet. And I sat down next to him, and he looked at me through like little kid eyes, weeping, and he said, brother, that song's about me. And there was something about that song and that moment that it still resonates. And I know people who think that way. They think they can't be changed. And it's a powerful gesture. And Blaze doesn't waste any words. And it just means a lot to me, that song. Last night you went away to be alone, and I trembled, but I couldn't, didn't shake too long. I know so many arms that are waiting just to hold you, but no one could want to hold you more than me. If I could win your love again someday,
You know I would. I try my best. 'Cause I've looked around and I don't think I can settle for anything less. For anything less. I was stranded down in New Orleans, and I wandered down the streets alone. You know, I wish it could have been just a bad dream, 'cause I'm about to chew my fingers to the bone. Take me back the way I am, 'cause you can't change me. I can't even change myself. I know I've tried, and I've looked around, and I don't think I can settle for anything less. For anything less. For anything less.
Ben Dickey, thank you.
Thank you.
A Blaze Foley tune called For Anything Less. Ben Dickey plays Blaze Foley in the film, which begins showing in Austin today. And Ben, I wish for you that people will now discover your music, which obviously Ethan Hawke has been a fan of for years. I watched you play after Alejandro Escovedo a few weeks ago at the Continental Club,
yeah,
you
yeah.
and Charlie Sexton.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, so people should hear your music.
Yeah.
And Sybil, I hope that people after seeing the movie will backtrack and find your book, which is hard to find these days, but I don't think it'll be that way for long.
Thank you.
And it's called Living in the Woods in a Tree. And Ethan, I'm just wondering, you know, you make this film, you're the director. It shows at Sundance, it shows at South By, it opens September 7th. What's your hopes for... And if this question's been asked before, I apologize. But what do you hope happens?
No apology. I've never been asked that. What do I hope? You know, it's a funny thing you ask yourself as you're running around. What is it that you hope? Why are you doing this? You know? And the truth of the matter is I'm chasing the same flame you're chasing, the same one that Ben's chasing, the same one Sybil's chasing, is to communicate with people. You know, I somehow feel that the arts are kind of the great empathy generator that we have. It's the only way we have to open doors to see down avenues that we don't see. We're born into these own little keyholes, you know, and we just look through this tiny little keyhole of our own experiences. And I love making movies. The simple act of making a movie, of saying, oh, isn't it beautiful the way she looks out the window when she's on a bus? What is she thinking about? The simple act of doing that, you're saying to others that it is important what you think about when you look out the window on a bus. You know, there's a subliminal story that when you write a book, it's important, a love affair. Your love affairs are important. You write a song, some man's in pain, you hear that song that Ben just played, and you hear it, and Johnny Sansone hears it and goes, damn it, that's me too. And all of a sudden, you're not alone. And all of a sudden, you have a little bit of courage to go, well, wait a second. I'm not alone. It's not that bad. What? You know what? I think that's what I'm doing. You know, I love this movie because there's this thing. You know, I became like a celebrity, right? It's a nasty, kind of mean word. Designed to make people different from each other, something, you know, as if any one person is more special than another. But it happened to me at a young age, and the patently falseness of it struck me at a really young age. And I get moved when I see an artist like Blaze going through life and not having any of the superficial accoutrements of successful life in the arts. I get moved by that fight, by that struggle, you know, where you don't get any attaboys, you know, and I love him for it. And there's Blazes everywhere. There's about a million in Austin, you know, and they're all over this country and all over this world, men and women singing their song or writing their book or trying to communicate to their husband. You know, I mean, it's like, so that I think that's why we made it. It means something to us. And it's actually, as soon as you verbalize it, you make it smaller. It's something in all of our guts. And it's in the DP. You know, Ben's sweetheart, Beth, was the art director on the movie. The movie owes a great debt to her. It owes a great debt to Lee Kyle, who did the costumes. I mean, when you have no money to make a movie, you're just relying on the universe to provide you the right people at the right time. And in this case, Blaze lit the candle. Yeah. People came to us because, you make a movie with Blaze Foley. I love Blaze Foley. And then somebody else going, I love Blaze Foley. I love Blaze. You know, even the guys painting the sets, remember? Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, man, I love Blaze Foley. You better make this movie good, you know? I told the bartender I was making this movie once, and he cried. He literally tears welled up. He said, you better do a good job. You know? Because people have a private relationship to it.
Right.
You know? Everybody loves the Beatles. If you love Blaze, or, you know, then you have a private relationship to it.
Well, everybody has a chance to see the movie now, y'all. It's opening today in Austin, 3 different theaters, and you have a chance to have a personal interaction with Ben and Ethan and Sybil if you're going to be around at these Q&As at the Regal Arbor 2 times today, tomorrow and Sunday. And Sunday at noon, visit with KUTX's Elizabeth McQueen at Waterloo Records. And check out the soundtrack, too, because Ben does some great work on the soundtrack, and there's one of his songs on there, and I think Alinda does a great version of Lucinda's Drunken Angel, so watch for the soundtrack. And
Charlie's on there, too.
Charlie's on there doing the great Marie that I spoke of. And pick up a copy of the Austin Chronicle that Ethan just edited. Your letter to the editor, whatever they call the piece at the beginning, was really articulate and wonderful. And we have a native Austinite in our midst whose parents went to the University of Texas at Austin, where we are today. Ben, you can stick around and we'll record one more song real quick before you split. Maybe we could do a town song or something.
Yeah, that sounds good.
This is Jody Denberg. I want to thank Ben Dickey and Sybil Rosen and Ethan Hawke for being here today. We really appreciated your time and your talents. And I want to thank our staff for helping us out. Jake Perlman doing the mix today, our multimedia crew, Gabriel Perez and Renee Dominguez, and especially our Studio 1A producer, Deidre Gott. And hey, we'll see you at Waterloo Records Sunday at noon or at one of these theaters as KUTX brings you Blaze.
If I had no place to fall and I needed to, could count on you to lay me down. I ain't gonna tell you no lies, I don't believe it's wise. You got pretty eyes, won't you spin me round? I'm not much of a lover, that's true. I'm here, then I'm gone, and I'm forever blue. But I'm still wanting you. Skies full of silver and gold, try and hide the sun, but it can't be done, at least not for long. And if we help each other grow, while the light of the day shines down our way, then we can't go wrong. But time, she's a fast-moving train. She's here, then she's gone, and she won't come again. So won't you please take my hand? Could account